So now we'll kind of move into that message. They're supposed to, so you have to hopefully remember where it is that we left off when you did the icebreaker part of that, okay? Because, like I said, we've been in the upper room for a while, okay? And Jesus is getting closer and closer. Every week that we get together, he's getting closer and closer to the cross. And we spent a while talking about Jesus trying to comfort his disciples, which he did. Okay, and then he moves on to challenge them. He says, I'm going to be gone, but I don't want you to show your love for me by just grieving me, okay, and disappearing because of it. Instead, if you really love me, I want you to finish the mission that we've started together, okay? And that's kind of where we're going to pick it up here. And then along the way, he's going to say, not only do I want you to finish the mission, I'm going to provide, God's going to provide someone to help you with that in the form of the Holy Spirit. Okay, which is where we got into the icebreaker part. All right, so now we're back in John chapter 14, but now we're all the way down to verse 15.
If you love me, obey my commandments.
Okay, so Jesus is saying, don't you show your love for me by grieving. Right, which was what we just talked about before. He says, I want to see some obedience. I've talked about what it is that you're going to have to do once I'm gone. Okay, so now I'm kind of throwing down the gauntlet. Okay, it needs to be more than we just hung out. We had some great times for a few years. I want you to pick up the baton. I want you to finish the mission. I want you to carry on where I'm leaving off. Okay, and so guys, I actually skipped over a few verses because the verses that we skipped, now we're going to go back to, they are used a lot of times out of context. And so I wanted to give you the context first, and then we'll go back to what Jesus stated, because a lot of times we in the Bible we have a tendency to pull verses out of context and use them to our advantage or make them say what they want to say. But unfortunately, if we don't use them in the right context, very often we make a liar out of God. Okay? And it seems like one of those times where a lot will do that. And so now we're actually going to go back. So we skipped from where we left off, which is in verse 12. So now here's the context, right? Jesus is challenging them to continue on the work that he had done and that they had watched him do. Okay? So now let's go back in context to verse 12, if somebody could read that for me.
I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father.
So let me just ask you now, having some context, what does it mean to do the same works that Jesus did, or possibly even greater works than he had done? So let me just tell you, it's not about the miracles, it's not about healing the blind or the cripples, it's not about raising people from the dead in that way. And if you remember over the time in John, that's why I talked to you about the miracles, okay? They had the surface thing that Jesus did, but underneath there was symbolism, right? We talked about the raising of the dead really meant to eternal life, so much as physical life. All of those that Jesus raised from the dead, Lazarus that he raised from the dead, he died, guys. He didn't live forever after that, at least not in the physical sense. And so every one of those had a spiritual context to them, okay? And we talked about healing the blind, but really opening blind eyes means being able to see with spiritual vision, to be able to actually understand the truth, to be able to recognize it in a different way. Okay, so these verses aren't about doing the miracles that Jesus did in the physical sense, but doing the miracles that Jesus did in the spiritual sense. Are you with me? Okay, and just so you know, I mean, the disciples, like when they kicked off their ministry, on their very first day, they did more than Jesus did in his entire ministry. Do you believe that? Let's take a look at it. It's in Luke chapter 19. Oh, excuse me. I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Let's go back to Luke 19, because this is where Jesus states his mission and his ministry in the, and I think one of the clearest ways. You know, sometimes we think Jesus came just to forgive sins, and that was certainly a big part of it. Okay, but in Luke 19, verse 10, he literally tells us in the clearest way, this is the reason why I came. This is the mission, guys, and this is still our mission. So let's go ahead and read that.
When the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.
That was his spiritual mission. Okay, the physical miracles that Jesus did literally just allowed people to know that he was who he claimed to be, that he was literally the Son of God. Okay, and they were symbolic of some of the things that were the spiritual things that he intended. But he says it really clearly. This is the reason that I came, to seek out and to save those who are lost. Right? Those who are lost in their sin, those who are dead in their sins. Okay, and so let's go ahead now to where I wanted to go before. Sorry, I like to jump ahead. To Acts chapter 2. Okay, so the disciples have to wait a little while to start this mission. In fact, he's going to tell them later on in John. We'll read about that. He says, hey, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so they wait for that day. And it's not literally until, it's like 50 days after Passover, right? At the day of Pentecost, okay, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And for the very first time, his disciples begin to preach the Word of God. Okay? And let's look at what happens. So that's in Acts chapter 2, verse 41.
Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all.
So that day, Peter and those disciples, through their preaching, raised 3,000 people to life. Those who had been dead in their sin came to believe in Jesus Christ and were given eternal life. Because that's more than Jesus touched his entire ministry on earth in the 3 years that he was there. Did you know that? In one day, his disciples did greater works than Jesus had done his entire ministry. And that's what he was talking about. It's the effect that you can have. It's the opening of blind eyes in the spiritual sense. It's the raising of the dead to life in the spiritual sense. Okay, and that's the promise that we get. He says, Jesus, you could do more than I ever did. And we still can. Did you know that? Okay. Well, believe it. We're going to keep going. But that's the mission, right? To seek and to save those who are lost. And that's the context in which we read the next passage as well. So let's go ahead and read now verses 13 and 14.
You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Okay, so sometimes that's like pulled out. It's like, okay, I need to say it like this. It's one of the reasons why most prayers end with the phrase, in Jesus' name. You pray like that? When you sign off, it's like, in Jesus' name. Why do people say that? Do you wonder about that? Well, he said, if you pray in my name, I will hear it, and I will be your advocate with the Father, and you're going to get that stuff. Now, just so you know, that's not like this magic phrase that we can use anytime we want something. It's like, as long as I finish my prayer with, in Jesus' name, I get it. Okay? In context, he's saying, if it's something to do with the mission, right? If you're looking to seek and save the lost, and you pray in my name, I will be your advocate to the Father and will make sure that you get the necessary resources to do God's will. It's not about, well, I need a new car, so I'm going to say it in Jesus' name, and I'm promised in the Bible that I get whatever I ask for, as long as I ask for it in His name. And that's why I wanted to give you the context first before I go back to those verses. Those are ones that are pulled out so often, okay, out of context. It's like, man, I got this like magic. All I got to do is rub the genie and say the right words, and I get whatever I want. Guys, that's not what it's about. Okay, it's only if we are in the mission, right? If we're part of the mission, if we're seeking God's will, if we're performing Jesus' work, He says, "I will empower you to do the things that I've asked you to do." Okay? And we're going to continue on with that a little bit. And then he's going to promise that he will give you the needed help that you need. Okay? Not only the resources, the opportunities. And I wonder sometimes if we pray for the right kinds of things. You know, I work with my guys on Wednesday nights, and we talk about, you know, are we praying the right kinds of things? You know, certainly we're going to pray for the sick, we're going to pray for our family, we're going to pray for God's provision, but at the same time we need to pray for opportunities to seek and save the lost, because that's why we were saved in the first place. You know what I'm saying? We're going to pray that we're in God's will. We want to turn that over to Him. But the good thing is, we get the advocate, which Jesus is going to promise in just a bit, okay? He promises to be our advocate in heaven. And at the same time, he says, I'm going to give you an advocate here on earth as well while I'm gone. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I need to leave, so that you can get this guy, because he's going to be really, really important to your life going forward. So let's look at now verses 16 and 17.
But it was us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit teaches out, or searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us.
Okay, so let's take a look at this guy first. He says, just so you know, I have to leave. I'm going to die, and I'm going to go back to be with the Father. Okay? But I'm not going to leave you alone. When I go, God is going to send you another advocate. And this one will never, ever leave you. And not only that, He will not just be with you, He will also indwell you, right? He will live inside of you and will never leave you. And He's going to help you do some things that you're not able to do without Him. Okay? Probably going to help you even more than I did. That's Jesus' words, right? So I thought this would be a good time to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Not everybody knows exactly what the role of the Holy Spirit is. And the cool thing is, Jesus talks about Him several times between now and His crucifixion. Okay? And we're going to get to talk about some other things, but we'll start with the things that the Advocate does for you and your ministry. Okay? Because just so you know, all of you have been called into ministry, and you've been gifted for ministry, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay? But let's start with what we see in this verse. Okay? In this verse it says, He will lead you into the truth. He will lead you into an understanding. Right? It says, just so you know, it's really hard to understand the things of God unless you have this advocate to help you understand what's going on. And Paul says it a little bit differently, and his words are also worth reading and put a little more flesh on the bones. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Say it again.
She just read that one. I think we skipped over John 14, 16 through 17.
Okay, let's read that one first, and then we'll go on to...
And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him, because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him, because He lives within you, now and later, and will be in you.
So that's our advocate, who will never leave us, and lives within us, and not just with us. So let's look at now 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. We have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us.
And so basically what that says is that the things of God are very, very hard to understand without a little bit of help. And okay, so I don't know about you, but before I literally became a believer and got the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'd read the Bible before, and I thought it was kind of an interesting book, but not... I didn't really get all that much out of it. A lot of it was really boring. And then, all of a sudden, I read it in a different way for the very first time. And I started to read it with now understanding. And that's because the only way that you can really understand a lot of the stuff that's in here, more than just at the surface, is through this gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Who leads you into the truth, who leads you into understanding, okay? Now... And maybe you're like I am the first time I ever heard this, and they're talking about the Holy Spirit, because there's a ton of stuff. I mean, I read it now as a believer, and there was a ton of stuff that I just still didn't get. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder if I actually got the Holy Spirit, because I don't understand that part. Okay? And that's okay. It doesn't mean that you don't have the gift of the Spirit. All right? What it means is that you don't understand exactly how the Spirit works. Okay? So much of what God reveals to us is on a ready-to-know and a need-to-know basis. Are you with me? Okay? Just like you can only teach your children at certain ages certain things. Okay? But as you grow and mature, okay, there's more and more that the Spirit is actually able to reveal to you. Jesus says the same thing to his disciples. Okay? We'll skip ahead to John chapter 16. I'll read a couple verses from there. Okay? Beginning with verse 12.
There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future.
Okay, so Jesus tells this to his disciples. He goes, you guys were with me for 3 years, and I taught you a lot of stuff, but there's so much more I have for you. I would love to teach you, but you're not ready for it yet. Okay? But once I'm gone, you'll be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he will continue your education. He will continue your growth and your maturity. Okay? He says the same thing to them. As you're ready, more will be revealed. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing with us. As we grow and as we mature, more of the secret things of God are revealed. And so, guys, I don't stress over parts of the Bible that I don't read. I just take it for, okay, that part I'm probably not supposed to understand yet. Or it's something that I don't need to know yet. Yeah, I don't dwell over it so much. It's like, now there, if I'm led to it, and I really feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I need to figure out what that is talking about. That's one thing. But if you're just reading and you're just like, well, I didn't understand that part, keep going. I guarantee you the next time that you come back, you will. Because that's one of the reasons why I continue to read my Bible. It's not, okay, I read through it, now I'm done. I can put that book away, like so many other books that you can. This is one that literally changes each time you read it. As you become more mature, as you become more ready to know more, more is revealed. And the very first Bible I got, my sister Sue, who is some of you guys met, told me I needed to get the King James version of the Bible. Okay, and so I bought the King James version, and she was 100% right, because I'm a very fast reader. But the King James is written in an older English language, and it's very hard to read. And so the big thing that it did for me, mostly, is it slowed me down. I couldn't read it very fast, and so I had to read it more slowly and think about the words that I was reading when you have the these and the thous and the all that kind of stuff in there. You know what I'm talking about? But I was big into highlighters all the way back from my college days. And so I got a Bible highlighter, and I read it through the whole time, and I highlighted everything that stood out as being something really important, really significant. Okay, and then the next time, because I decided I was going to read the Bible all the way through each year, and so my second year I got the Bible again, and I want to say, okay, I want to take out another color. Okay, so I highlighted everything in yellow the first time, and then the next time I got an orange highlighter, and as I'm reading through, I noticed there were lots of things in there that I had highlighted in orange that were not highlighted in yellow. I'm like, how is that possible? I read everything slowly and carefully, and I highlighted everything that was really important. And all of a sudden, new things were important. In fact, someone was like, I can't even remember reading this. Where did this part come from? You know what I'm saying? And so it is, and I did that really until my Bible wore out. So I had like 6 different colors, and every single year, you believe it? There were new things highlighted that I had never highlighted before. Okay, that's when they talk about the Bible being living and active and ever-changing. It's like, it is. As the Holy Spirit reveals new things and more things and stuff that you never even thought there was anything really in that, all of a sudden it becomes significant and important to you. Okay, so guys, I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't read through the Bible all the way, challenge yourself to do that. You know, I don't know if you make New Year's resolutions, but January 1st is going to come up really fast, just like December 1st came up really fast. Maybe challenge yourself to work your way through the parts of the Bible you haven't read yet and read them. And if you've already read the Bible, challenge yourself to read it through again. Send in a new color highlighter and make note of the things that also all of a sudden come to life that didn't make any sense before. Or maybe you didn't understand. Or maybe just didn't. Maybe it wasn't there the last time you read, and all of a sudden God, you know, there's. Trust me, it seems like that to me. It's like, I can't believe I've read this like 9 times, and this never stood out to me before. It's the coolest thing. The Bible is one of the most unique books I've ever read, and so I continue to read it. Okay? But the Holy Spirit does more than just help us to understand the things of God. There's much more to it than that. And so, okay, so let's look at now Philippians 2:13.
For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him.
And this is another one of those. So when we get the Holy Spirit inside of us, all of a sudden, the desires, the things that we're interested in, the things that we want to pursue, they begin to change. And I start to have an interest in some of that stuff that I didn't have an interest in before. Okay? And Nicole can vouch for me with this. So we became Christians. Okay? And kind of reconciled our differences in our marriage. We got together. And so it was like the first Saturday night. Okay, we had kind of like gotten back together again. And there was another couple at the other end of the block, and they did a Saturday night Bible study. Okay, and Nicole took me to a Saturday night Bible study, like my first, it wasn't my first week of being a Christian, but it was early on. And I went there, and I don't like not knowing. I felt very inadequate because they all seemed like they know what they were doing, and I didn't. And that makes me feel very uncomfortable. So I remember walking home with her from that. You remember that night? Okay. You know what I told her? Now, that's all well and good, but if you think I'm going to spend my Saturday nights doing Bible study, that's like pushing it way over the top. You know what I mean? I pretty much had promised her that we ain't doing that again. Okay. That was okay for one night, but if you think we're going back there, it was Rosario and Rosanna's place. Okay. And anyway, they moved away. But guys, I'll tell you right now, I would rather do a Bible study on a Saturday night than anything else I could possibly think of. Okay, and the Bible studies that I'm involved with you guys and with my guys on Wednesday night, that's my favorite thing to do. Okay, it wasn't always. Before I was a Christian, I certainly never would have crossed my mind. And even when I first became a Christian, but little by little, God changes the desires of your heart. Okay, next week we're going to talk about God pruning the vine. Right, the things that get pruned away so that the real fruit can begin to grow. Okay? The cool thing is, it says, not only is the Holy Spirit going to change the desires of your heart, okay, He's going to empower you to live out the new desires that you have and pursue those. Okay? We think it's all about us. It's like, okay, I could brag about how many times I've run the Bible, but guess what? It wasn't my idea. You know what I'm saying? I don't get to brag about anything. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that drives me to all of those things. It's the one that puts the passion inside me and then empowers me to do it. On my own, guess what? I watch TV. I'd rather watch the Bears game. You know what I was talking about? But that's me. But fortunately, the Holy Spirit lives within me and changes me and grows me and matures me and gives me new desires. Alright? And then we go back to what we talked about before, okay? He gives us special gifts, okay? And there's a bunch of them, but this first list that we talked about before is gifts so that you can live the Christian life. This is about gifts for you, okay? That change your character and change how you treat people, okay? I call the character gifts. And those come from the Holy Spirit as well. And so let's go to Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22.
Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
In other words, we can't regulate those. God can't command you to love people. At least not very effectively. I've tried that before and it doesn't work. Okay, but now with the Holy Spirit within you, you can actually love people. Amen. You know what I mean? You can actually have peace. You know what I'm saying? Before it was just, we could try really hard for those things, but these are, it's like trying really hard to make your plant grow. You know what I mean? You can even fertilize, you can do some of those things, but those guys, that's up to God. God's the one that grows those things. He says, when I give you the Holy Spirit, He's going to start to grow up within you new character traits. Now, I wish they all happened immediately, but they don't. Okay? Some grow up really, really fast, and you're changed almost immediately. Okay, others, they take a little bit more time. Okay? But these are literally about you. These are the gifts that begin to change you as a person, begin to change your character, it's the way that you treat other people. All of a sudden you have patience when you didn't have patience before. Okay? It's sometimes difficult because we don't always recognize that, so sometimes we got to ask people, so how am I doing with that? I can pick on Sean because he came back, and whenever he comes back, I pick on him, just make sure he don't come back again. No, I'm just kidding, Sean. But one of the things that he complained about the most when he first became a Christian is like, I got no patience with people. Okay, that's why I like to work alone. I'm fine by myself, and he doesn't recognize it. He still complains about that. But his patience level has grown so much. It's like unbelievable how much he's been changed. Okay? And you lived how many years working by yourself and not liking 20-something? Because that's a long time. Okay? And Sean's really been changed. I'm pretty sure that the same thing we could say about each of you, because it's one of the things that the Spirit does. He begins to change you from the inside out. Okay? But those aren't the only gifts. We don't just get personal gifts that help us to be a better person. Okay? We're also gifted in other ways. And these come from the Holy Spirit as well. Okay? And we're actually what they call serving gifts. So let's skip ahead. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Oh, I'm sorry. I skip over stuff. I'm always ahead. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. The same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service. We serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. The spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other.
Okay, so I want you to pay special attention to that last part, okay? It's not like just some people are gifted for ministry, okay? Everybody gets a gift. Everybody gets a gift that you're supposed to use to help other people. That's called ministry, okay? The only question is, what's your calling and your giftedness, and how can we use it? It's not whether you're gifted or not. The only question is, how are you gifted? And the cool thing is, like I said, that the Spirit gives you new desires. So usually if He gifts you for some kind of service, He also makes sure that you have a passion for that, that you enjoy it, that it's something that you like to do. Okay? Because we could put you to work wherever, you know, or we could call you into any kind of ministry. There's always plenty of stuff to do. But that's not the idea. We want to actually put your giftedness, let you serve in an area where you're gifted, because that's what breathes life into you. That's what gives you great satisfaction. That's what you're created for. That's why God, the Holy Spirit, gifted you in certain ways. You understand what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's one of the goals. I've told you before, okay? When people come in this door and they sit down, they pull up a seat with us and they stay, it's because of one of two reasons, okay? Either they come with needs that we need to minister to, or they come with gifts that we need to put to use. And even the ones that come with needs, eventually those needs are met, and then we can start to call out on their giftedness. Okay? But that's why you're here. It's not just to, you know, socialize, although you can certainly do that and get to know and love one another and practice those kinds of skills, because these guys are easy to love. You know what I'm still talking about? But every single one of you has been gifted by the Holy Spirit for ministry. That's why we're called. Okay? That's why God saved you. So He could use you until He calls you home. It just is what it is. Okay? There is, however, this is where we get back to Acts, one ministry that we're all called to. Do you know what that is? Well, let's look at it in Acts 4.
After they had prayed, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and bravely spoke God's message.
The Holy Spirit gives us confidence in talking about God's stuff. Okay? It allows us to boldly proclaim the gospel. Okay? Now, and that's not the problem. So I say, and people tell me all the time, it's like, Pastor, I really want to. I have this desire. I want to talk to people about the Lord. I want to share the gospel message. But I'm afraid that I won't know what to say. You know, I get into a panic. I lock up. I want to talk to Joe, but then when I start, I get all nervous because I'm not sure where to go with it. I'm not sure what to say. I'm not sure what to do with all of that. Are you familiar with that? Because that was me in the early days. I'll tell you another quick story really, really fast. And some of you guys have heard it before. If you've been around long enough, you'll hear all my stories over and over again because I don't get as many stories very quickly. It's not like something really cool happens to me every week. Sometimes I got to wait for a while longer. Okay, this was in the very beginning. Okay, and like I said, I hate feeling inadequate. I don't like to feel like everybody knows more than me. Okay, which is one of the reasons why I had this huge passion to read the Bible. Okay, because I hated going to church where everybody knew what was being talked about, and I didn't know nothing. Okay, so I avoided the Bible study. I didn't want to go to a Bible study until I knew the Bible, because I wanted to be able to be the ones that was talking. You know what I mean? Like I was somebody. I didn't want to be the one just sitting there listening. And I hate feeling inadequate about anything. And so I sat home day after day, night after night, reading my Bible, and I wasn't talking to anybody about Christ. I wasn't talking to anybody about the gospel. Because I was afraid that I didn't have all the answers. I wasn't going to start doing something and then end up where they ask me a question and I don't know the answer because then I feel inadequate. And I hate that. Okay? And so I wasn't saying anything. I was just studying my Bible, just reading it all the time. And Nicole, my sister gave her a King James Version of the Bible too, and she hated it. So she didn't read it at all. Okay? But she was talking to everybody about Jesus. I'm like, what are you talking to him about? You don't know anything. You're even less than I know. And she said, what do you do if they ask you a question? You don't know the answer to it. She said, I tell them I don't know. I'm like, seriously? He goes, but they never asked me about that. So I said, what do you talk to him about? Well, I just tell him what God did in my life and what he did in your life. Like, that's it? That's all you're telling them? Because every week she was bringing another person to church that was unchurched. And I hadn't even said anything to anybody. I was on my second year of reading the Bible. You know what I mean? I'd read everything. But I hadn't studied it enough. Until you finally realize, guys, that it's not really about you. And it's not about you having the right words. And when you finally recognize that, that's one of the secrets of God, is that he talks through you, okay? Or you can talk for yourself, but I've always found that when I talk for myself, I do a crappy job of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? But if I'll just allow God to speak through me, he does a wonderful job. You know what I'm saying? In fact, he tells us that. Let's go ahead and look at Luke 12:12.
For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said.
Guess what, guys? When I go in with that attitude, it's like, and I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a situation. Nicole even asked me sometimes, so what are you going to say? You know, ministry stuff too, but the gospel stuff as well. She's like, okay, you're going to go and talk to so-and-so. What are you going to say? And I'm like, I don't have the slightest idea. I really don't. I'm really counting on the Lord showing up, and I'll pray on the way. It's like, Lord, if you don't show up, man, I got nothing to do. You know, just so you know, you need to show up big in this one. And even to the point where it worries me sometimes when I feel like I do have the thing that I want to say. Then I'll be like, okay, Lord, you need to make sure this is all about you and not about me. You need to make me in an open vessel. All the ideas that I have right now spinning around in my head, maybe just wash those out and let your words be spoken. Yeah, you know, so often when I go into a situation, that's the words. Okay? And then you get into these situations, guys, because I want to make sure that you understand this. So sometimes I go in, and this was early too, I would ask Nicole about it because I want to debrief it. And she's like, so what did you say? Were you able to share the gospel? Were you able to talk to him about it? And I said, I couldn't think of anything to say, so I didn't say anything. At first I would be really upset. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. God gave me the opportunity. I had to talk to him. And when I sat down with him, nothing came to mind. Okay? And you know what she said? Best advice I ever heard. She reminded me, you know, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. If he didn't give you anything to say, perhaps it's because you weren't supposed to say anything. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, the best ministry that we can do, we do without saying anything. I don't have to always be talking. I don't always have to have answers. I don't always have to be, you know what I mean? So often, guys, we can share Christ, and we don't have to talk about it. Okay? Because he lives and dwells within you, which means they can see it in you. Understand what I'm talking about? That was probably the biggest grace I was ever given, was God spoke through Nicole and said, just so you know, if you don't have anything to say, with the Holy Spirit living inside you, it's because there's nothing for you to say at that point. That's the time where you keep your mouth shut. You know? And then I was thinking of while I was sitting with this guy, all the things I should be saying, I couldn't say it. And I didn't say it. It's like, why did I say that? That's why you don't say it. That's why sometimes things don't come to mind. Okay? And let's see where we're at here. We'll keep going. Okay? Let's look now at Matthew 10, verse 20.
For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
And that is the greatest comfort of all. That's the part where I really need to, like, get that my mind around that. Okay? And we'll get to it in just a second, but the Holy Spirit does a really nice job of sometimes translating. I'm trying to keep an eye on the time because I could really easily run over on this. I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you one more thing real quickly. You know, keep in mind that God does the talking, and the Holy Spirit sometimes will do the translating. Okay, I used to go to a men's group from another church only because I liked to go to some things that I didn't have to lead. I didn't have to teach. People didn't look at me for all the answers and all the wisdom, and just where I could just go and just be and let them speak to me. You know what I'm saying? But there was a guy there, and I was teaching at the time, but I had the day off. It was one of those school holidays that nobody else in the rest of the world gets, you know, like Casimir Pulaski Day or something like that. And so I didn't have to go into work, okay? It was because it was before work. And there was a very troubled young man, and so I decided to go out for breakfast afterwards, okay? And I was talking to him about what God had done in my life. Okay, which was really about my relationship with Nicole and restoring that and healing some of the damage that had been done in that. Okay, well, he was struggling with addiction. Okay, and at the end, he was telling me about how he was moved by my confession about my struggles with addiction. And I'm like, I didn't say that. I didn't say anything like that. Okay, but you don't. Guys, you never ever contradict unless it's completely wrong what they say back. And so, although I talked about what was going on with me, he heard about what was going on in him. Okay? And he actually was able to hook him up with some guys that could help him on because of that. But that wasn't my, guys, that was never my testimony. But that's what he heard. How did he hear that? It's like, you can't blow it, because the Holy Spirit translates for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what I was saying wasn't what he needed to hear. But somehow he heard what he needed to hear. Mm-hmm. How much better does it get than that? Right? I got the translator that fixes things if I say the wrong things. Okay? But that's because God uses us. Right? I'm going to use you as my instrument. I don't like to say the wrong things. I hate to put the Holy Spirit in a place where he has to translate for me. That happens sometimes. So I really do the best I can to just like be that open vessel and not come in with my own agenda. You know, but sometimes that happens. Okay? But I told you, that's why so often my prayers look like, Lord, you need to empty me of everything so that I can be this empty vessel for you. Okay? Because it's not about what I have to say. Right? God's just using me to speak through me. And that's one of the things that we've got to wrap our minds around. Okay? And guys, just so you know, the prayers that I pray like that, those are the ones that Jesus always answers. Those are the ones that he says, if you pray this in my name, if you pray for power, if you pray for the right words, if you pray for the opportunities, if you pray for the right things to further my kingdom, I'll do it for you. Okay? But so often we pray for stuff to grow our own kingdom. Right? To give us opportunities to be successful, and not necessarily opportunities for the Lord, or opportunities to grow His kingdom. Those are the real promises that Jesus makes. He says, if you're working for me, I'll empower you. I'll give you what you need to be successful. And then we need to kind of change our mind about what success looks like. Right? And success doesn't always look the way that we think it's going to look. Or the way that the world says it should look. Success will look the way that God says it should look. For each of us. Okay? But here's... again, I like to jump ahead, but let's look at Romans 8:26.
And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words.
Okay, and so it says that the Holy Spirit will act like a translator. Now, this particular verse is about prayer, and we can talk about that a little bit, because it says, in our weakness, we don't know what to pray for. Okay, because I have a couple of weaknesses. Okay, and they're sitting up here in the first couple of rows. You know what I mean? My wife is one of my weaknesses when it comes to prayer, and the same thing with my kids. Okay, because I don't want them to have to suffer. I don't want to see them go through any pain. I don't want to see them struggle. So I'll be the first one to ask God to relieve them and change their situation and give them the desires of their heart, so they don't have to cry, so they're not sad, so they're not all of these things. Okay, but fortunately. Okay, the Holy Spirit translates that, right, into what it should be. And so often, my prayers turn out to, Lord, grow them in this struggle. Grow them in their character through this hardship, right? Or, Lord, teach them patience as they struggle with waiting. Okay, because I don't want any of that stuff. I don't mind praying for that stuff for me, but my prayers are so often off with my wife and with my family because they're my weakness. And sometimes God has to do some of the hard things in them, and I hate to see it. But the cool thing is, when I pray that, the Holy Spirit translates it into, Lord, give them the very best. Do what's best for them. Okay, teach them the lessons that they need to learn. Okay? Or when I sometimes pray for my own successes and my own opportunities to grow my kingdom, the Holy Spirit translates that into, Lord, your will be done. Right? Not what I want, but what you want. And I really stink at saying that. I know that should be my prayer every time, but very often that part gets left out. And it's like, Lord, I really need you to do what I want this time. But that's not really the way that it works. And guys, we haven't come to the end of all of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Okay? It's amazing. The cool thing is, Jesus talks about the Advocate a couple more times before we get to the end. Okay? So we're going to kind of stop here with just one exception. We're going to skip ahead to John chapter 16 in verse 7. Okay? Because Jesus says something that's really, really cool here. Okay? It's something that we need to hold on to. So, if somebody could read that last verse for me.
But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you.
Now, I'm not sure exactly why we can't have the Holy Spirit and Jesus at the same time. That would be so cool, okay? But he says, I need to leave, and once I do, this guy is going to come. Okay, God in the form of the Holy Spirit will come. He will indwell you. He will empower you. So just so you know, it's best that I leave, because you're going to get a much better advocate than I am. And I have another duty that I need to do, which is to die on the cross. So this is the point, guys, where we do communion together. It's a time where we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. In this particular case, we're going to think about the gifts that we got. Okay, certainly we got the gift of eternal life. But in addition to that, because you were given special gifts to use to grow his kingdom. This is a time where we remember the mission. Right? He says, each time you do this, and this was at the end of this evening, which is coming pretty soon, this Last Supper. He said, when you do this, I want you to remember me. And part of remembering him means we remember the mission. This is like super appropriate at Christmas time. This is the one time where people kind of turn their eyes to Christ a little bit. And certainly there are a ton of distractions out there, and Satan's done everything he can to make Christmas into something else. But it still ends up ultimately being about Christ. If you pray for opportunities, guys, over the next, over this Christmas season, to talk about Christ, I guarantee you, God will give them to you. I mean, don't you really want others to experience the same blessings that you have through the Holy Spirit? To have their lives changed, to have new desires, and have a wonderful life? I don't mean just wonderful things. I don't mean the environment. I mean the inside, the character. Right? So we're going to spend, as we're commanded to do in Scripture, just a little bit of time examining ourselves. Okay? And are we open to doing kingdom stuff over this next few weeks? Okay? So let's do that for a couple minutes.